joined now by the one and only Bernie Kosar. How was your Father's Day, my friend?
Well, Father's Day weekend, survived it with four kids, a Miami Heat, Oklahoma City game, and a U.S. Open, and flying back and forth after a Gladiators game, trying to survive right now.
Nice. All right. So you're in survival mode, but at least
yes.
At least you're here to talk with us. Bernie, I want to start with the fact that the Browns wrapped up their off-season workouts. Pretty much all the on-field stuff is done. Some rookies will be around through the end of this month doing some individual work, but the on-field stuff with the whole team is shut down until this team reconvenes at the end of July for training camp. And wanted to get some general takeaways from you about what you, first of all, thought was accomplished, high on the list of accomplishments. I mean, I think the most obvious that I would see would be, okay, you've got a legitimate quarterback in Brandon Whedon. You saw how well he threw the ball over the course of those workouts. How important is it that that's going to resonate now for the next month plus before this team gets back together again?
Yes, right on. Is not only for him to throw good and to have a positive OTAs and mini camp, probably more imperative is that the team saw him, the veterans saw him throwing good, being dominant, having dominant physical throwing skills that they could kind of lay their hat on and hands on to know that that's something that they can anticipate in the fall, in the real games, being able to throw like he was throwing. And just as important, although we talk about it just as a matter of fact, you know, younger guys, the rookies, first-year guys, injured guys, are still going to be around the next 5 or 6 weeks. And because they haven't been in the league, because this is their first chance at some money, so they have all kinds of new family members, they have all kinds of new friends, because they're on an NFL roster and they have some money. To be able to work out, to stay in shape, to still mentally stay in the game, kind of helps them from the distractions of all their new friends and family, because that sometimes tends to take them away from staying in shape, being ready for training camp, being ready for preseason games. I think that stuff will help, especially younger guys. I think Brandon Wheaton's going to be fine, but Trent Richardson, hey, Josh Cooper's, guys like that who kind of had a good offseason, kind of showed that, hey, they may, even though they're an undrafted free agent, have a chance to possibly make the team. Those type of guys to keep being around, keep learning, keep growing, not only help themselves, but help the chances of the Browns being a better team next year.
So is there a balance between enjoying whatever is left of a summer, although that doesn't always apply to football as it does to maybe other businesses, but there is definitely a time that is theirs that just is the players to own, and same with coaches as well, but primarily I'm talking about players here, that you balance between getting away from it and letting your brain recharge a little bit, because they were exposed to so much, right? The playbook is a big thing and a difficult thing to master, and the young guys certainly haven't mastered it, but they had a lot thrown at them over the past several weeks. So you want to get away from that, but you don't want to get too far away to where when you come back at the end of July, you're coming in cold.
Yeah, Vic, you're right on. The politically right thing to say, and the easy thing to say to not have a follow-up question is, yeah, you get away from it for a little bit, but you continue to work out. Hey, the reality of it is football, especially at age 22, 23, 24, is so exciting. It's so fun. It's so important that I never let it go away. I never checked out. I did never put the light switch off. And the guys who put the light switch off and then think they're going to flip the light switch on and they're going to be at 100%, they're wrong. And it does not happen. And so you have to stay in the game. Your head has to be part of it. Look, you have your whole life to relax and have fun. It's not now, though. Now is about playing football. And even though it's 4 or 5 weeks off, you still have to work out. You still have to mentally think about your place, your assignments, your details of assignment, the details of how you run your position. You can't turn the light switch off right now. And I always talk to younger guys about, yeah, you can relax and maybe you could tone it down some, but you can never check out and flip the light switch completely off.
Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, Mike Holmgren said some interesting things last week. I'd say the highlight, of course, was saying that he would be more visible and more out there and available to the media as he was in that session. Joined this show that day, was on some other radio programs in the Cleveland area. Just making himself, again, available, as he said, and that this would be more of an effort to do so, primarily because, he said, I think there was this perception, or that he saw and that a lot of us could see, that he was detached from this team, that by staying in the background as much as he wanted to allow Pat Shurmur and Tom Heckert to be in the foreground and the voices of the team, by doing that, Holmgren put himself in a situation where people wrongly assumed he didn't care. And that really cut him to the quick. That really became a big problem for him and for his wife, Kathy, the two of them kind of talking it over. And I think he had, I don't want to say he had an epiphany, but he certainly had a realization that he's got to change this in his mind, and he's going about doing that. He's going to be on this show a lot more, you know, when we get back to training camp in the season and again, other places in the market. I wanted your thoughts on that, because you've been through any number of these PR situations as both a player and a former player, and you've seen it at a lot of different levels, what your thoughts were.
Well, Vic, first and foremost, if you want to crush our heart and you want to cut our heart in half, say the phrase, you don't care.
Right.
I mean,
right.
any competitive person, any guy who loves and has been successful in the sport and in life, anytime you say, oh, you don't care, you're detached, you may as well, I'd rather you shoot me than say something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, those type things have such ramifications to how you conduct yourself. And, you know, it's a tough one. You know, when you're a coach, when you're a player, when you're a quarterback, when you're a head coach, when you're a play caller, you have a certain defined role. But when you're the quarterback, when you're the play caller, when you're the leader of the team, and you're not those, but you have to lead the team, but you used to do those roles, you know, how do you let the quarterback, the head coach, the play caller, define his own personality? There's been lots of ways to do that, of which, you know, there's no one way that's perfect. There's not one way that's exactly right. And you have to live and learn. And you could be dominant and be out there, like Jerry Jones is out there a lot, you know, and people then say, oh, he's too hands-on. And then there's guys, sometimes like Randy, who aren't out there as much, oh, he doesn't care. And it's a tough spot. Yet he provides all the resources,
right,
all the money, all the football people to run the organization. It's sometimes a catch-22 as to really what is right. And granted, winning solves all evils and it solves all these issues. But when you're not winning and you're not doing certain things, it leaves it up to debate. And I tend, as for my life, I tend to err on the side of trying to communicate and trying to over-communicate. And I see Mike trying to maybe do this year, you know, he's trying to let Pat and Tom Heckert assume their roles as head coach and general manager of the Cleveland Browns and assume their leadership roles,
right,
and he tried to stay in the background. And I only think after a few years, everyone's been together, and I think he feels, and again, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he feels that, you know, they've been teammates, partners for a few years, and they're able to kind of be out there and talk without defining, second guessing, looking over the other's shoulder. And again, I think it'll be positive. I think it'll be positive because whether us players admit it or not, we listen to what the head coach says. We listen to what the general manager says. We listen to what Mike Holmgren says. So I think just those type things are adding to the growth that the organization is going through.
Something else that Mike Holmgren mentioned in his news conference last week was about saying that his arms are wide open, the organization's arms are wide open for Jim Brown. You know, just the question coming up about the distance in this relationship between one of the all-time great players, not just in Browns history, but NFL history, and the Browns. And he was, Mike Holmgren was quick to address that with the notion that the feeling of the organization has never changed about him, even if, you know, there was a change in his role or whatever it was that led to this separation. But in terms of Mike, it sounded very much like, you know, what he was saying. And he talked about him being a childhood hero of his, Jim Brown being Holmgren's childhood hero, and wanting to embrace him and wanting him to come back. And I don't know if I'm getting the vibe here, too, that that Jim Brown would, you know, want the same thing at some point. And it would seem to me that is the kind of thing that just working at it would be a nice thing to see resolved.
Yeah, right on, Vic. I mean, when you're trying to establish your leadership position within the organization when you're having change, it's not easy. And you're trying to balance winning and losing, the current locker room, the past locker room. Now, I'm a little biased the way I was raised, you know, growing up loving Jim Brown, and I'm friends with him. And having that type of relationship as a personal standpoint, and then as a player looking up to a guy who accomplished so much wearing the colors of the jersey, the Cleveland Browns, at Municipal Stadium doing all that. So I think we all love and respect that. But then you're trying to establish the locker room and establish the leadership roles within it, and it's kind of a shame that it happened, but I think it's awesome that both guys, both sides are realizing that we're really one side and one guy, and it's about the Browns and about the respect of keeping the integrity of the shield and the integrity of the Browns and the integrity of the helmet. And I think it's fantastic that both, you know, Mike and Jim want to work it out for the good of the Browns and for the good of the team, and I just think it's fantastic.
Well, Bernie, great stuff as always, and we look forward to talking with you again next week, my friend.
Sounds great. Have a good one.
He is Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You are listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.